Thank you, Lindsay, for music. Thank you for your prayers. Hopefully we're going to need them tonight. It's a cold night. The topic I had on was the Holy Spirit. Of course, since that's a large topic, I'm only going to scratch the surface. Just a few ideas that came to me. And the text I'm going to speak from, and I'll be jumping around other texts as well, is chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I am determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory, our Lord. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Spirit teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct them? But we have the mind of Christ. That's a wonderful passage there from John. I just wanted to, I think this is going to be quite a short one, but I just wanted to say two things worth, or two points to get across, and that is one, that the Holy Spirit is absolutely fundamental to the life of the Christian, because the Holy Spirit is the basis of our becoming a Christian. It's the basis of what we are now in a Christian's life, and it's going to be the basis of what we're going to be in the future. So that's an absolutely crucial thing, the Holy Spirit in our lives. But the second point I want to mention is that if we neglect the Holy Spirit, or if we even go as far as to ignore him, it's going to be death in our Christian life. We're going to go backwards, and it's also going to be the death of the church as well. Now, I don't have to tell you about the death of the church, because we've seen, you know, in our lifetime, we see churches that are closing. They've closed their doors, churches have merged and so on. So we see that the life, you know, has been gone out of them. So that's just a couple of points I want to look into. The first thing, I just wanted a digression, is what made me think more about this. I was reading a biography of a preacher known with the odd name of Smith Wigglesworth, and he was a preacher that was very active in the early part of the 20th century. I think he died in 1947. But it's just, it was a couple of things. I was looking at, somebody had written his life story, and he was saying that, you know, he preached through the power of the Holy Spirit, and he was just a very well known, respected. And he said, there's one of the things he said was he didn't feel, when he was in the full time preaching, so he didn't feel very comfortable until at least one person was saved every day. And it just so happened that one day that he didn't see anybody saved, and it was so upsetting in his mind. He thought, I need to go out into the, he was at night in cold air, just sort of clear my mind, see what calmed down. And when he was walking along the street, he saw someone coming towards him, and it was a drunk. And the drunk like sort of grabbed hold of him and was pulling, and then he was singing all the songs that the drunks sing. But that Smith had a word of the gospel for that man, and he was converted there on the street. And it just wants to show me, seem, you know, like you're doing the will of man, but behind it is always God's purposes. God's purposes is always behind the will of man. And it was just another thing he said. He said, I've never spent more than half an hour in prayer. But I've never spent a half hour without a prayer. And I think that's an admirable example of what Paul would say about praying without ceasing. You know, he'd be praying all day long if that was the case. But now I just want to go back to my topic of the Holy Spirit. And just based on some of the verses in that chapter, we can see that the Holy Spirit is the only means of discerning the things of God. Because he said that we received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. And thank goodness that they're given to us freely, because we couldn't earn them. And he said, and also, God hath revealed them unto us by his spirit. The natural man that sees not the things of the spirit of God, for they are foolishness, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now that's like, I'm short-sighted. So nowadays, I can't see any of you now. But if I put these on, I can now see to the end of the hall. So that is like the Holy Spirit. Nobody, no natural man can see God. But if the Spirit comes in, he's now able. He's the only thing that is able, make us able to see God. That's one of the things I want to say. Another thing is, when we look through that famous chapter of John, chapter 6, now we always say, it's only through the Spirit that a man can be drawn to Christ. That's it. There's nothing man can do that can make him become a believer. No man can come to me, says Jesus, except the Father which has sent me draw him. And of course, the vehicle of that drawing is the Holy Spirit. And also want to say that the Spirit is irresistible in bringing salvation. Because see, all that the Father giveth to me shall come to me. So, the Spirit is irresistible in the completion, the end of that salvation. Because Christ again says, all which you have given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again out at the last day. So it's amazing. God has ordained a group of believers, and there's no way that those group of believers can ever be lost, because the Holy Spirit has come in. He's drawn them to Christ, and there's not one of those will be lost, because the Spirit is going to make sure that they complete their journey home to the Lord. That's a fantastic thing that the Holy Spirit can do. And you know, and then again, we can look, the Spirit, as part of that, begets our faith in the Lord Jesus. Paul just said there in that passage, my speech and my preaching are in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. God begets our faith via his Spirit. And also say that it says, don't stand in the wisdom of men. Thank God that it doesn't stand in the wisdom of men. Because I've looked at something in the history of philosophy, and it's usually the case that the latest philosophy that everybody thinks is the greatest of men's wisdom, they think the next age comes along and they think it's the height of human stupidity, the last wisdom of men. Wisdom of men, it changes after every age. But thank goodness that the power of God, the Spirit of God, does not change. And there's another thing we can mention is the indwelling Spirit, the Spirit that dwells within us. That's a permanent resident within us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that Spirit is a guarantee of our complete redemption. Because I don't need to tell you, but there's so many references in the New Testament about being sealed with the Holy Spirit. And also about having an earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. That's in the 2 Corinthians. The earnest. Now, the earnest is like, you know, most of us have had to put a mortgage for our houses or our flats. We've had to pay a down payment. And, of course, the banks requested that down payment as a sort of guarantee that we are going to pay the rest of the mortgage. Of course, in this financial claimant, I'm not sure about that. But we're not dealing with the banks. We're dealing with God himself. And if he's put down a down payment of that Spirit into our hearts, then that is going to be fulfilled. There's no doubt about it. That's the God that we're dealing with, a perfect God, a God who's going to carry out all these everything that he's promised. And the last sort of point I want to make in this thing is the indwelling Spirit. The Spirit that's within us can be experienced. And it's only by being experienced that we can get a proof of our salvation and our ultimate redemption. We can experience the Holy Spirit within you. I just want to give you a number of texts here. We can have Romans 8, where it says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Holy Spirit itself is witnessing with our own spirit, the spirit that makes us human beings. It's bearing witness with us that we are the children of God. And of course, there's that famous one in 2 Corinthians, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith, test your own faith. Do you not know your own selves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you be reprobates, or except if you were unsaved, you wouldn't know that Jesus Christ was in you. So it's obvious that Jesus Christ is within us, can be known. And of course, there's the verses from 1 John where he says, we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. And hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. And again in John 14, when it says, you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So we have all these texts that are saying to us that the Holy Spirit can be known, it can be experienced within us. And it is proof of our salvation, the proof that actually God that we are one of the elect of God, the believers. Now, I think that's a great text because, you know, some of the stuff before can be theoretical knowledge, but this is God himself is saying that we can actually experience them. And at times, you know, I've had the assurance from God because of that experience of the Holy Spirit within me. But of course, that's also a warning as well that, you know, if we're not experiencing the Holy Spirit, then questions need to be asked about our lives. Are we, which I'll mention later, about are we really following the Lord? You know, because God can withdraw a sense of his Holy Spirit within us if he feels that there's something wrong in our lives. But it's good to know that it's there, that we're not basing anything on a theoretical knowledge, like a sort of scientific knowledge, but we're actually basing it on the reality of God that's within us. And I was just thinking about all these points that I've just said, that it is a great thing that all the thing is, that it's God's Spirit himself. Because when there's no room for boasting for man, destroys men's pride, destroys his boasting. There's no way. The only thing we can glory in is the Lord Jesus Christ himself by his Spirit, because we had nothing to do with our salvation. We have nothing to do with there's no work that we could do. And that's fantastic thing, is all the glory goes to God, and we wouldn't have it any other way. And also it makes us feel, we showed gratitude and thanksgiving because we have such an omnipotent, omniscient God who's able to, if we know they're the Spirit within us, there's nothing that we need to do. All the work is done by him. All we do is we just trust and rely on him. That's a great, we know that he is going to complete that work that he's commenced within us. I think that's a great thing to know from the Lord Jesus. And I just want to talk about the functions, some of the functions of the Holy Spirit. The one, the most obvious one, because that's one of these the terms that he uses, comforter. And I know the reason why he's called a comforter, because in this world, if we are living up to our claims to be a Christian, there's going to be persecution, there's going to be tribulation, there's going to be all sorts of, the enemy, once he knows where we stand, he's not going to be idle, he's going to be active as against us. He's going to send all sorts of things against us, and things that would make, that on a human level, or might bring us down, they might cause us physical pain, spiritual pain, psychological pain, but thank the Lord that we have this, the Comforter, the Holy Spirit that's come there. We can experience the joy of the Holy Spirit. We can also know that we know that our home isn't here. The Spirit can tell us our home is up there, it's in heaven. We don't actually, this is a veil of tears, you know, this is a valley of the shadow of death. It's not our true home, or it hasn't really yet been made into our true home. And that's why we're going to have trouble in this life. But thank Lord that we have this comforter who can be with us. Another term that we can use, another function of the Holy Spirit is, I was going to say, a commissioner, because he's going to commission us to do something for the Lord. Now, you remember in Acts, I can't remember the exact chapter there, but it says the Holy Spirit, he says, separate unto me Barnabas and Saul. So he's got a specific task for those specific two people. It's not Barnabas and Saul and somebody else or another group of people. It's those two people the Holy Spirit wants. And also, the Holy Spirit says, I want you to go to Seleucia. He doesn't want them to go to Philadelphia. He doesn't want them to go to Antioch. He doesn't want them to go to Macedonia. At that point in time, he wants them to go to Seleucia. So, the Holy Spirit has got a commission for you individually. Now, there is, as we know, there's what's something's called the Great Commission, which every Christian is commanded to do. We'll go out into all the world, make converts, baptize them, disciple them. You know, that's like a general commission for the whole church, but there's a specific commission for you individually, part of your work to do at this particular time, in this particular place and circumstances. That's what the Holy Spirit was doing with Saul and Barnabas. And that's